Hello and welcome to another episode of the Two Bros Podcast. We are Two Bros. This is the Two Bros Podcast. Welcome. Well, needless to say, it's been a busy couple of weeks. I've just not had the time or the inclination to record an episode. There are a few ideas I was sort of bouncing around in my head and I thought I should do it, but then I didn't want to like just do it for the sake of it. I wanted to be thorough in my research and then I want to put out quality content for you guys. So I decided against it. And then it's just that, man. It's the assignments, it's the group work, it's the projects. Everything just kind of piles up a bit. And in fact, just this morning I had an exam. It's called the 48-hour exam. And I just submitted it like 10, 11 hours later. But mind you, I was on campus for 2 hours, two and a half hours for a class in the afternoon. So effectively, it was like an 8-9 hour exam. And I've got 48 hours to do it. I have submitted it. I will look at it once again in the morning just to go over any errors that might have, you know, missed my first glance. But here I am. And the reason is, so many of you have sent me these reels on Instagram about this incident that happened in Baltimore, about the ship colliding with their bridge and the way it just crumbled and collapsed. And tragically, a lot of people died. I don't remember how many. I think it's between 6 and 10 people. And a lot of people wanted to know what happened and why did this happen. And, you know, it's a mystery. Like this, it's not something like this doesn't happen a lot. It has happened. We have videos of barges colliding with bridges and stuff like that. But something like this, it's very rare. And the fact that something like this happened in the US, where maritime laws and regulations are so strict, like it's crazy. Like, I'm glad, like, I never came to the US on a ship. Like, the amount of inspections that you go through are insane. And if you're caught, and the amount of fines that you go through are, it's just forget about it. So what happened? Like, you know, there's some speculation. There's a lot of chatter on social media, but none of it is informed. And I'll be honest, I don't have all the information either. But just by looking at that 1 minute video, I have an idea of what went down. Now, again, I don't know if the details of this will be released to the public at any point. I don't know. Normally, these things are sort of kept on the DL. So I'll, based off of that, just that 1 minute video, I think it was a time lapse or some whatever, you know, you've seen the video, it's all over the news these days. So based off of that, I have an assumption of what went down, and I've spent 10 years at sea, so I kind of know what's going on, and I can sort of pick up on these little nuances that are in the video. So let's get to it. Like, okay, it begins with the vessel sort of appearing in the video from the left-hand side, sort of coming into our frame. And soon after, the entire ship is in the video, it blacks out, loses power. Now, here's the interesting bit. This is called maneuvering. Like, when a ship is leaving a port or when it's in these congested waters, it's called maneuvering. Why is it called maneuvering? Because a lot of the engines, like the main engine and the generators, are going to be switching on their power consumption, their power load, basically, essentially what they put out, right? The engine can speed up and stop or even go in reverse. And so accordingly, the generators go up and down. There's also thrusters involved. Thrusters basically move the ship on a transverse sort of a path, like they go sideways, essentially. So you don't have to like do a full circle. You just go sideways using thrusters. And a ship that big, I think 10,000 TEU, it's quite big. That'll definitely have thrusters on it for sure. Maybe bow and stern thrusters, who knows? Maybe it's got both probably. So the trouble is, during maneuvering, you ideally have all of your generators running. So the fact that it blacked out, it's very interesting to me. Like, why would it do that? Like, even if one generator fails, you should have the others available on board. Now, this takes me back to a scenario which I experienced on one of my ships, where during a maneuvering, we were just about at the peak maximum power that we could provide to the ship. Thrusters were on. We were overloaded with refrigerated containers, which also draw power. And since they've just come on the ship, they've not reached their set points, they're all on. All of the units are on and they're all drawing power. So that coupled with all the thrusters which are running, everything which is running, all of that adds to the power that is being consumed. So I remember that time it was, we were at the max, all the generators were at 90-95%. And there's a built-in safety involved, like at 95% or whatever load you set it at, the generators will sort of trip. If that doesn't happen, if they get overloaded, you can even trip on under voltage. Like there's so much power drawn, it cannot physically keep up. And then you have something called an under voltage trip. And what that would trigger is, it will trip the first generator. And then the other ones will try to sort of compensate with the, take the other generators will like try to take the load on. But since if the load remains steady and nothing else trips, ideally you should also have preferential trips going off. So all the non-essential equipment should have tripped. But it looks like something went wrong. Maybe they used the thrusters too much or something, and it just triggered a cascade of failures and the generators just tripped. And that's the first blackout. The first time you see that, all the lights go out. Another interesting thing to note is at this stage, the pilots were on board. Now, the pilots are guys or girls who work for the port, and they are trained to take the ship in and out of the port, and they're fully well-versed with where the channel is, where the deep channel is, and where the, the wrecks are, or where the shallow regions are, the ones to be avoided. So they are well-versed with the topography of this port. So the at this stage, it's the captain and the pilot who work together on the bridge. And normally, it's the pilot who gives the command for how much helm and how much thruster he needs. So if he has gone over the limit, that's the pilot's fault. But the captain should have informed him that the ship is already like maxed out on power and it needs to be used selectively. Also, in my experience, when I've seen the guys on the bridge use a thruster, they go from zero to max, just like it's a PlayStation joystick. Like they play around with it like it's nobody's business. So now that causes a heavy load on the generator, and it takes a while to sort of compensate. Now, if you have generators which are already overloaded and you have a very large load suddenly coming onto it, that can also trip the generators. So one of these things happened. Either the pilots used the thrusters too abruptly, or they were not informed by the captain that something was up. That the ship was already like loaded with power. I don't know. We don't know. And that probably we won't know. But in my experience, that's kind of what would have led to all the generators tripping at that stage. Like I've had many blackouts in my experience. Like, but that's the case where there's one generator running and the running generator trips. The standby generator doesn't have time to come online before it trips. And then you have a blackout and then you have to just reset everything and start over. But in this case, the fact that all of them were running, something catastrophic happened that all of them tripped. My assumption is it was a thruster which was overused and then it sort of triggered a series of trips and all of them tripped one by one and that was gone. Now what happens next is a little, it's interesting. The lights come back on. And here's the interesting bit. Now normally if you have a blackout, the emergency generator powers up within 40-45 seconds. And then it powers on the essential requirements. It does not power the entire ship. It powers only the essential things. So it'll give you one steering board. It'll give you one fire pump. It'll give you some lights. It'll give you something like one air compressor, let's say. Not everything. You can't run the ship on an emergency generator in most cases, let's say. But in this case, you can see that all the lights come on. And if you look like on deck, normally only, let's say, alternate lights are marked as emergency lights. So if the emergency generator had come on, only those lights would have been on, but all the lights came on. That means it was one of the main generators which they were able to salvage. Now, this is interesting. What also happens is after you have a blackout and the generators, let's say, fit, it continues to sort of turn. It stops supplying power, but the engine keeps drawing. The funny thing is, even if your fuel pumps have tripped, because of the suction of the fuel pumps on the generator, not the fuel pump supplying the fuel pump generating the pressure on the generator, those have such a draw that they'll keep drawing fuel and the engine will keep turning. So I'm thinking the engine was still turning and somebody in the engine room pressed the breaker and it connected the load back on the generator and the lights came on, because that difference was not enough for the emergency generator to come on. And then we can see that all the lights come on, all of them. So I'm guessing one of the main generators was powered back on. What we see next is even more interesting. We see a huge puff of black smoke coming out from the funnel. Now, this got me thinking, where could this black smoke come from? It could either be the generator that has just started, but seeing the amount of smoke, a generator would not generate that much smoke. So I'm guessing it was, once they got the lights back on, once they got one generator on the board, maybe one, maybe two, I don't know, they tried to use the main engines. And I'm guessing this was a frantic call from the bridge which said, we need engines now. Once they got the power back on, they immediately tried to go astern. And that's what that huge puff of smoke is. And why this puff of smoke is because I don't think the blowers had kicked in yet and somebody just, I don't know, maybe started the engine on local or bypassed certain limits and just gave the astern order and then the engine was turning. And that's what the huge black smoke is, because in the absence of blowers at that RPM, you don't have good combustion. So that would explain the black smoke coming up. So let's assume they managed to get the engine turning and the propeller was now going astern. Here's the other interesting bit. The blowers themselves are really big consumers of power. So I'm guessing if you've just got one generator on the board and then you try to start the engine and then the blowers come on one by one, assuming there were two of them, that would again increase the load on the generators and that would again cause a trip. Now, here's the other thing. Now, look at the predicament the ship is in right now. Like, you've lost power, so you don't have thrusters, so you can't go sideways. You're stuck. Additionally, the news article said the ship was traveling at 7 knots. Now, a ship that size, some of you may not know this, a ship needs to go a certain speed for the rudder to be effective. If you're lower than 5, 6, 7 knots, that's roughly where what my experience was. If you're in that range, and let's say you've lost power, so now your speed is reducing even more, you don't have a rudder either. So now you have no thrusters because you've lost power. You have no steering because you're not fast enough. And now you have no main engine because you've lost power for a second time. And then we see the lights come on again. Now, by this time, it's already too late. I read in the news that people at the forward station dropped the anchor to sort of keep the ship, you know, from going further away. Now, that is a good move. It was calmer heads prevailed and this was a good order. But I think by then it was too late. And then the ship sort of just drifted over. And I think even at 7 knots, the anchor would have, I don't know if it would have stopped the ship. Probably not, because it's 110,000 ton dead weight. And that's a lot of momentum for just two anchors to sort of hold on to it. Maybe, maybe not. I can't comment on that because I'm an engineer. I'm not a deck person. But here's my issue. And I was talking to my brother about this. Every single port that I've been to in Europe or China or Africa or whatever, whichever port has like a narrow channel, a congested channel, like a river passage going under bridges, like Hong Kong. In Hong Kong, you have to go under a bridge. In Chiwan, in China, you have to go under a bridge. All of these places, you have a tug standby. Now, tugboats essentially pull out your ship from the jetty. They pull it out, they help you, let's say, turn this way or this way, whichever way the exit is. And then at least one tug stands by till you've crossed this channel. At least in China and everywhere else it does. However, in this video, there are no tugs. And that's important because that's the job of the tug. Like, even if there is a power failure, the tug is called right away on battery-operated VHF radios. The tug master comes in and it just nudges the ship in the right sort of area. That's his job. That's why he's there. Now, this could be a policy thing where the Port of Baltimore has like an area marked in on the charts which says when you reach this place, you can just let go of the tugs and, you know, you can tell the tugs to go about their business and you don't need to follow the ship anymore. I would disagree with this because that area in that video going under a bridge still looks a bit dodgy to me. I would at least wait till the ship has crossed the bridge. And we all saw what happened. Like it hit the bridge and the way it collapsed in seconds. So that right there for me is a policy failure. Like I don't think the pilot would have taken this order, would have given this order just willy-nilly. I think that was a rule in place. Like when you reach this area, when you reach this turn, tugs are supposed to be let go. I really haven't looked at the map, but I don't know how far the jetty is from this bridge. I'm guessing it's quite some distance, but it's still congested waters. I'm assuming this policy needs to change. This is probably what caused the whole thing. Yes, power failures happen. I've seen so many of them, and I've had experiences where we were in such situations and we had a power failure. Luckily, we were not in a position that we would collide into somebody or on the ground. But I have experienced this, and I kid you not, these power failures are common. They happen. And there's nothing you can do. It's not a question of poorly maintained generators. Like, for instance, we had a case where one of the valve springs broke and the valve just sort of dropped into the unit. And that smashed against the piston. The piston cracked. That was spraying oil everywhere. Now there's an inlet manifold which is open. Sorry, it was an exhaust valve. So now it's an exhaust manifold which is just open to the cylinder. And that spraying lube oil into the exhaust manifold, which carried away all to the turbocharger, which has got really hot exhaust gas, and that caused the turbocharger to explode and the whole generator tripped. This all happened in a matter of seconds, and that triggered the fire alarm. There was like a huge fireball that went out. So that happened, and these malfunctions happened, and there's no way you can sort of see them coming. We used to always make it a big... I used to make a big issue out of this because you have to kind of tell the people on deck that, you know, we are maxed out on power. Use the thrusters wisely. Don't just go all PlayStation on it. They have to be told. And if that instruction was missing, that critical information was missing, if it was, that was it. That's what caused the entire thing. If that wasn't communicated to the captain by the chief engineer... And let's say it was, and if the captain didn't communicate that to the pilot, then that's a major loss in communication. Had this information been given, I don't think anything would have happened. But that coupled with the fact that there were no tugs around to help the ship, nudge the ship back towards safer waters, maybe just turn it around or just... pick up a line from the ship on the aft station and just act as a brake. Bring the ship to a stop so that the ship can in fact drop anchors and then just stay in the channel. Something could have been done. But again, like I said, all of these accidents, it was a series of things which went wrong. And the result is innocent people who were on the bridge driving their cars, not even knowing what's going on, ended up tragically losing their lives. And yeah. So this is my speculation, and I'm fairly certain this is what happened. I have been discussing it with some of my sailor friends, and we all kind of agree, and everybody, and nobody kind of picked it up. I was talking to my friend who is in Brazil right now. We were talking about this incident, and I just asked him, "Lou, did you see any tugs anywhere?" And he's like, "Yeah, you're right. I didn't see any tugs anywhere, and that's a problem." So for sure... there are multiple failures. Could be equipment failure, could be human failure, might as well be a thing where some generator was not overhauled completely, a fuel pump got stuck, something happened, one generator tripped, and the others tripped because of the overload. Could be a bunch of things, man. But ideally, based on what I saw in that video, I think that's how it went down. Tragic to say the least. I also see that news outlets keep reporting that it's an all-Indian crew. That's really not necessary. It's these things can happen to anybody. I've been on like ships made in Denmark and all Danish crew where things like this have happened. None of this is relevant. This is just assigning blame at this point. This is crazy. This kind of talk should be avoided. So, yeah, those are my two cents on this incident. Feel free to ask questions. I'm going to upload this episode very soon. Feel free to ask questions. If you have any follow-ups, reach out to us on Instagram. We have an Instagram page. It's called The Two Bros Podcast. Just look for us and we'll be there. If you want me to talk about anything else, let me know. If you want to be a guest on the episode, on an episode, let me know. We can talk about anything. We can talk about whatever you want. In the meantime, I'm just sort of recovering from this exam that took me like 10, 11 hours to complete. Good thing I cooked yesterday. I had the foresight. I should cook because maybe the exam is going to be so long that I won't have time to cook. So I'm just going to eat something. I'm going to take a hot shower, early to bed, and then start over again tomorrow. So I have some assignments pending. Okie dokes. This was my 2 cents on the incident in Baltimore. And I will see you on the next one. Bye-bye.